Hey, this podcast replay is brought to you by Moody's Dental. Come and get a free consultation from the implant and Invisalign experts like I did and start the year right with a healthy smile. Call 305-821-0231 or visit moodysdental.com.
Let's get into a little bit of Chris Bosh. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Chris Bosh is not happy about him not being a finalist for the Hall of Fame. Now, let me explain something. I think Chris, there's no doubt in my mind, has a point on being pissed off about this. The question is, why is he left off? Now, could it be because of the whole Kobe thing and they want to kind of keep it kind of limited to a couple guys and maybe focus in on the Kobe thing and make it something special and, hey, we can put off, you know, Bosh for another year, which you can. He's still going to get in. I mean, he's got the stats. The stats are there. I don't need to tell you. In fact, in this article, they even wrote a great part of this stat for him. Bosh is one of 13 players in NBA history to average 19.2 points and 8.5 rebounds in a career that included at least 11 All-Star selections. The other 12 that have done it, Kareem, Wilt, Karl Malone, Shaq, Barkley, Moses Malone, Hakeem, Bird, Pettit, Ewing, Elvin Hayes, Elgin Baylor, they're all in the Hall of Fame. So there is no doubt that Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer. 11 All-Stars, two titles. I mean, there's no way you can argue the way he played, the clutch moments. He owns the biggest rebound, the biggest assist, and the biggest block in Miami Heat history. Okay? And so there is no argument here. Now, they did it because of the Kobe thing. There's no doubt. But I also want to tell you this. If Bosh, let's just for craps and giggles, he doesn't have the blood clot and he's able to finish his career out. First, he wouldn't be eligible right now because he might still be playing right now. This might be one of his, you know, final years in the league. But there is no doubt in my mind that the blood clot is what also created this whole mess and why he's not in now. And, you know, he goes on to say in this article, let me read it for you. He goes, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a competitive man. I've been competing my whole life. A lot of people don't really know that about me, but I'm a fierce competitor. Losing bothers me. Coming up short bothers me. It always has. You know, since the moment I started playing basketball, it kind of bleeds over into everything that I do. So I'll just go ahead of this and tell you and hear it from me. I'm disappointed. Okay? One of the things that people like to say is, oh, next year, Bosh says. What if there's not a next year? That's something that I think about every day. And I hope you think about it as well, because if there's not a tomorrow, what does that even mean? That is a definite question. That has to be on my mind quite a bit, but I just have to be honest with you guys. I'm very disappointed. And listen, for a guy that has 5 stents in his heart, I can reason with Chris Bosh on, I don't know if there's a tomorrow. This is a guy that's had multiple blood clots. This is why when adversity, you know what we talked about at the beginning of the show with adversity? So what do? Do you give in to adversity? Do you succumb to it? Do you say, oh, woe is me? And do you just crawl into a shell and then eventually you die and you wither away? No, you fight. You fight. That's what you do. You get up and you try to overcome. That's what we do in life every single day. And for Chris Bosh, this is the competitor in him because he knows that where he belongs and what he deserves. And he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. And yes, he will eventually get in next year.
But why should he wait another year? Because of a blood clot? Because of a Kobe celebration? That's wrong. It's wrong. But there's no doubt in my mind that both things came into play here. And, you know, Duncan and Garnett, the other two, I get it. You put those guys even over Bosch. So they kind of put the three, like, super no-brainers, even though Bosch is a no-brainer. And they said, all right, we're going to limit it to that so we can kind of focus and celebrate Kobe and all that other stuff. And I don't have a problem with that. But you are cheating a man out of what he deserves. Now, Chris Bosch is not the first guy to get cheated. Is not the first guy that has to wait to get into the Hall of Fame when he deserves it. So I also can't paint a picture like this is a first. Nobody ever does this to players. No, it's been done many, many times over. Happens practically every year. Right? But I do understand the dejection, the disappointment that Chris Bosch feels. Not that I can relate to it because obviously I'm not a Hall of Famer in anything, but I can relate to him being hurt and saying, hey, man, I deserve this. I earned this. I belong there with the rest of those guys. And he does. So I hope, he gets to enjoy that moment next year with his family. But there's no doubt in my mind. Think about this, okay? Wade leaves. Bosch takes over. There's no blood clot. That team wouldn't be too bad. That team was going to be pretty damn good. And Bosch was going to get his opportunity to be the lead guy. That would have been really cool, ladies and gentlemen, to see what Bosch would have done as the lead guy, which would have also enhanced everything he did. But he suffers the blood clot, he suffers the health issues, and they steal the rest of his career away. That blood clot stole the rest of his career away. And so he never got to add another chapter because think about this. He did it for what was it, 7 years, I think, in Toronto. And he got to the playoffs, but really didn't make much of an impact. Then he comes and joins LeBron and Wade and Ray Allen. And they go on to win multiple titles. And then he would have gotten an opportunity to be the lead guy again, but with Pat Riley running the show. And that might have set him up again to maybe, who knows, make a deep run, get to another finals, possibly win one. And you know that he becomes like one of those no-brainer guys that Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett are. Right? And you can't, it's one of those where we can't deny him. We can't set him back. But because of the blood clot, because he kind of didn't get to complete his career, we can get away with pushing him back for a year. And that's not right either. But you think about the opportunity that he would have had being able to do what I told you. That would have been really cool. Got a feel for Bosch on that one, man. Really do.
When he played, there's no doubt he was a top 6-7 player in the world.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was that dominating and kind of give him some major props because of taking a back seat, you know what I mean, for the betterment of the team when he came to Miami. There, you know, he was the third option, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you, no doubt. But I just I saw that story and I wanted to talk a little bit about it because I agreed with him. Sadly, I kind of understand what's gone on. Not that I agree with what went on. I agree with Chris Bosch. It's like, well, no, man, just put me in there. I belong in there. I'm a first ballot guy. And I hate the fact that he had the blood clot because obviously that set the heat back, and that was brutal, too, to deal with. I hated that he was even trying to come back from the blood clot because it was sending the heat back, and it was kind of silly on his part. I get it. He's trying to do what he loves. But damn, dude, I mean, that's some pretty serious stuff. You had accomplished everything. And you know what? He was right that he needed that end of the career so he would have no delays into getting into the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. All right, so last night, I'm on the air, right? I'm doing my show on Sirius while I'm watching the Hawks and the Heat. And I'm watching, obviously, Trae Young put on a freaking show last night. Although I was in a commercial break during the halftime. And Dan Craig gets interviewed by, I forgot which, was it, I think Jax that interviews him at halftime. And you know, they're asking, and Jax goes, well, you know, Trae Young killing you, you know, with a lot of free throws, getting into the paint. He has 10 free throws already in the first half. What do you got to do? And he goes, well, there's some things we can do to maybe limit that and eliminate half of that if he tries it again in this half. And within the first minute, he hits a three-pointer that becomes a four-point play because they fouled him. And you guys saw it. Those of you that care, you saw it last night. Trae Young goes 8 of 15 from three-point range. 50 points last night for Trae Young. I mean, he was all over it. And look, the real issue here with the Miami Heat is that maybe, probably, the reality is that they peaked in November and December. After 24-8, okay? Now, here's where some of you, you know, look, man, go listen to Intercom and go listen to 560 and 790. They don't have to, they can't question too much because, of course, their bosses will get pissed. But we don't do that here. We don't have to play the politics. Not that I've ever played politics whenever I did work there or anything. So listen, bottom line is, if you're going to enjoy the 24-8 and be impressed with that and think that they're great and that they're a top two, top three seed, they're 11-12 since 24-8. Okay? I'm not great at math. He is. I'm not. Once there was letters involved, I wanted no part of math. But I can add and subtract. That's 23 games of mediocre play. Okay? And please don't tell me that they got new guys and they're trying to get acclimated. Some guy yesterday goes to me, well, they're missing Tyler Hero. And I'm like, dude, if you need Tyler Hero to beat the Atlanta Hawks, then let's just wrap up the season. Okay? It's over. Let's just let's call it a wrap. I mean, look, in the end, they're kind of becoming what I thought they would be. A 7-8 seed, a first-round exit. Maybe they don't fall all the way far down to 7 or 8 because they won so many early on and they put themselves in this position. Kind of like, remember the Panthers got that one season a couple years ago when they got to the playoffs and they had the 12-game winning streak? That's what they lived on. That was the difference in their entire season. And for the Heat, 24-8 was fine at the beginning, but now you're 11-12 in your last 23. So if you're 11-12 in your last 23, then it shows how mediocre you are. And during those 23 games, you've had healthy lineups. You have had guys out. Look, at the beginning of the year, they were beating people without Jimmy Butler. You know what I'm saying? So excuses are for losers. All right? The Heat is going to have a good season. That's all. But let's be honest now. They are not going to have the kind of season that we were thinking early on at 24-8 when I was sitting there going, wow, they're a lot better than I thought they were. Actually, they're not. Actually, they're maybe slightly better than I thought they were. That instead of a 7 or 8 seed, they'll probably end up at 5 or 6. That's probably what's going to end up because while other teams have gotten better,
and have found their groove, the Miami Heat has regressed. And they're adding talent. You know, and it's funny because, what was it, yesterday there was a soundbite floating around from Pat Riley talking about how, I saw it here on Ira Winderman's column, and Pat Riley, and it's humorous to, but this is the way you've got to think inside that building. But Pat Riley basically came out to say, well, you know, people don't think we can win a title. Hell no, you can't win a title. Come on, Pat. Give me a break. I get it. You want to play the underdog card, and you want to try to motivate your players. You see what they're thinking about you. They think you're not that good. Well, we don't have to think it. We're watching it. Okay? We don't have to think it, Pat. The team is displaying it. They're 11-12 in their last 23. But don't worry. It's kind of like the Panthers. They play the Cavs in the next two games. So they can beat the Cavs. And then all of a sudden you can feel good about yourself a little bit better and say, no, you see, they're back on track. No, no, they're not back on track. They're just playing terrible teams. That's kind of like the Panthers. You already know what the Panthers are. But, you know, that during the schedule, there's a couple of mediocre teams, and they've done a decent job of beating some of these mediocre teams. You know, and coming out, the last couple games they were winning, and then now they lost again last night. They've got, obviously, Vegas coming up. We'll see how they do. But it's kind of like what it is. Even when they, a couple weeks ago, when the Cats were on a nice little roll and they were winning some games, if you really looked at that stretch, there were a lot of bad teams they were beating. So it wasn't that they were turning some corner or anything like that. I mean, we got to see things for what they are, okay? And it's been a terrific Heat season. Bam Adebayo has developed into an all-star, okay? Tyler Hero has proven to be well worth the first-round pick. Duncan Robinson is showing you that he can be one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA, right? I mean, there's a lot of little positives that are going on with the team. But in the end, you know, Jimmy Butler is not a number one player.